Little Johnny, third grade, was in one of those moods in class, distracting all the students, speaking out of turn, just typical of that third grade kind of sense of a child. Teacher just had it up to here, right up to the eyebrows. So finally she said, "Johnny, come forward." So he walks forward, stands in front of her desk, says, "Johnny, I'm very fearful that I will not see you in heaven." He looked up at her and said, "Why, teacher, what are you doing? What is wrong with you? It's so easy to see other sins and not kind of recognize our own." And here we have a little something for everyone in today's gospel. When you take a look at it. Certainly, the whole focus, and we hear it again and again, we hear it in the themes, liturgical themes, the prodigal son. But it's really not about the prodigal son. It's about the constant motion of the Father to meet us where we're at. And it's very important. The prodigal son immediately asks for his inheritance. And what does that mean? That means, "Father, you're dead in my eyes. You cease to exist, have any importance. Give me my share." And what does the father do? He turns over the share. And he offers to the prodigal son his portion, making no other demand upon him. And of course, like we experience even to this very day, individuals who come into large sums of money, oftentimes it goes through their hands like sand, and they find themselves in a much more dire situation than they were before. And now we find the prodigal tending to the unclean animals. He is a servant to the unclean. And then wonderful irony in terms of St. Luke's gospel, it said he came to his senses. What was his sense? His sense was his belly was not filled. I can go back to my father. I'll go back because my father has enough food, food that the servants have in abundance. Maybe I can go back and just be a servant. But why? So my belly can be filled. And of course, then he has the wonderful mantra, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would just one of your servants." Interesting. Again, we take a look at the motion that's taking place in St. Luke's gospel, the motion of the prodigal son who literally separated himself from the father. But the father, spying the son at a great distance, goes running to him. Always the motion of the father going out to the son, to the sinner. And before he can even finish the statement, the mantra, the father's demanding that a cloak be put around him, that a ring be put on his finger, that sandals comfort his feet from the scorched desert sand. And then he celebrates. Celebrates the fact that this one who was lost is returned. Now, I venture to say, comes us. Because I immediately saw the smiles on many people's face when suddenly the elder servant, in righteous indignation, says, "Why is this music happening? Your brother's come back. He's returned. They're celebrating. The father's celebrating." The old man celebrating with that ne'er-do-well who has taken half of the inheritance. And again, what happens is the elder son refuses to go into the father. Very key. Very disrespectful to the father. Refuses to go into the father. So again, the motion in St. Luke's gospel, the father comes out to the elder son. And then, of course, the elder son makes his complaint. "Dad, I'm in church every Sunday. I pray every day. I give in the collection basket. And you couldn't let me win the lottery even once?" When a lot of these ne'er-do-wells receive the great benefits, what's the response of the Father is the one that we should hear. Son, I am always with you. Don't you realize what you have? When you're coming to church, when you're praying, when you're contributing as an extension of my love, don't you realize what you have? Don't you realize the gift of the relationship? And everything that I have is yours. Don't look at this world. Look at everything which is part of the kingdom of the Father. It's yours. You possess it. You have it. And you have it because of the great relationship, the great love that is present. But if you understand that relationship, you never want anyone to be apart from it, ever. And you rejoice when someone comes to their senses and returns. Now, Luke wisely doesn't tell us what happens after all this. He doesn't tell us whether the prodigal son remains now kind of a faithful adherer to the father in the relationship. Doesn't tell us about the elder son, whether the elder son has reformed their life and his life in terms of relationship. Doesn't tell us any of that. Because we go back to the very beginning of this gospel passage. Jesus was dining with sinners. And it was the others who complained. The Father, once again, through his Son, Jesus, is telling us, here is everything that I have in Christ. It's yours. Understand it. Nurture it. Celebrate it. And take away those things, whether it be our perception of what we justly deserve, or it be literally those sense of wrongdoings that have separated us from the Lord. Take that away and understand that everything that the Father has is yours. He demonstrates that through his Son, Jesus Christ, who is offered for us to establish that relationship. We have to celebrate. We have to celebrate because we who were lost have been saved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.